reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in the book of Exodus. It's Exodus 5, and we begin reading at verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God.' Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it, and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday, as in the past?" Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And at this time, you would make a brick of matzah and kereseth and bitter herbs, and then eat it like a sandwich. Let us rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John. It's on page 1153 in your pew Bibles. And we read John 13, beginning at verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then, after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the gospel lesson where Jesus says, "Truly, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." This is our text. I don't know if you could get away with this anymore today. But years ago, when I was going to college and taking some courses in elementary education, I was given a fascinating experiment in betrayal that was conducted in one of our parochial schools. It went like this. On Maundy Thursday, the night our Lord was betrayed, the staff at the school picked out a student who seemed by all to be very emotionally secure, able to handle things, if you will, and reasonably popular in school. They also picked out three of his friends and brought the three friends in to set up a betrayal. Now, being on a parochial school, it was adjacent to a church, and the church had marvelous stained glass windows. And one of the constant themes of the teachers were, when you were around the church, "Don't throw things. You might hit one of the windows." It was a subject matter treated very seriously and enforced religiously, if you will. So on that Maundy Thursday, after talking to this one student's three friends, after recess, the principal of the school walked into that student's classroom and made the announcement, "One of the stained glass windows has been broken, and we want to find out who did it." There was dead silence in the classroom. This was no laughing matter. Everybody's looking around, kind of like they were at the Lord's Supper. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Then one of the girls in the classroom, a friend of the student who was, if you will, the mark, said, "Well, I don't know, but I saw some boys throwing things over by the church." Well, that let the girls all off the bag. Then another student raised his hand and said, "You know, I'm not sure who it was, but they were wearing a red coat with white stripes. The principal said, Everybody out to your lockers. The whole class walked out to their lockers and opened them one by one. And wouldn't you know it, there was only one student in that class who had a red coat with white stripes. Hand shaking, he finally brings it out of his locker and starts exclaiming, "But I wasn't even over by the church. I wasn't throwing anything." The principal says, "Never mind, everybody back into the classroom." He then begins to interrogate the students one by one again. "Are you sure it was boys playing over by the classroom?" "Yes, it was." "Are you sure it was somebody with a red coat with white stripes?" "Yes, it was." And then he looks at the student and then thankfully announces to the class, "I want you to know there are no windows broken. But we wanted you to understand a little bit about Jesus and what it's like to be falsely betrayed." Like I said, you probably can't get away with doing something like that anymore. And I can't imagine the sense of relief that one student must have had after the principal finally announced that no windows were actually broken. But can you think back in a moment when maybe you were betrayed by someone close to you who had told you that they loved you, that they cared for you, and then did something unthinkable? That's just a portion of what our Lord endured. But it wasn't just from the hands of Judas. Those sins that he was paying for on the cross, they were ours. Those things that we treat so lightly, like what difference is it going to make? It's not a big deal. Who's going to know? Who's it going to hurt? Do you not remember that the wages of sin is death? And for that thing in your life that you treat so lightly, though you know that God says it is wrong, those things both that you do and those things that you fail to do, those are the nails that hammered Jesus to the cross. And yet how amazing are those words that he utters as he's lifted up from the earth to hang for our sins. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." How much love is in our Savior's heart for each and every one of us, that he willingly goes to the cross. Even for Judas, who betrayed him, he still is invited to the table with Jesus. If you will, he's given one more chance to repent, one more chance to realize and understand the love and the gift that Jesus is about to give him. While the sharing of food at this Last Supper of Jesus did identify the one who betrayed him. The act itself was considered an act of love and of friendship. To give someone else some of the food that you have. He was reaching out to Judas, begging him not to do what he was about to do. Begging him to put in aside whatever bitterness he had in him that might be motivating him. Any fear that he had that might be motivating him. And to absorb the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the hope that Jesus had proclaimed again and again and again and was about to purchase for us. But Judas would not have any of what Jesus offered. He set aside the hope, the forgiveness, the love, and went out and betrayed him. God grant that when Satan comes calling in our lives, that we learn from our Lord and from Judas about what not to do and what to do. To set aside those things in our life that drive us to sin. Those false hopes, those false dreams, those fears, those doubts, those worries. And instead to take into our lives the faith, the hope, the love that Jesus offers. Knowing that He not only forgives us, but even after our betrayal, He invites us back to live with Him and to share in that glorious resurrection that was soon to be His. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.